1-800-449-8686.
By the way, Margaret Gray's greatest hits coming up later on in the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You were saying that the vice president should be heeded. All the warnings about terrorism.
Absolutely. And I was listening. Are we on the air right
now? Yeah, you're on the air right now, sir.
I was saying, Phil, that the vice president said it's going to be a terrorist attack. I'm concerned that while I think men are ready for this, I think women, as the women that we have here in this country right now, might not be.
Women are not ready for what?
For the war on terror that we've got right now.
Why?
Well, women don't come from the same orientation as men. I mean, men have military service. Women don't really have that. They've got home economics, babies, and the like, and all that's good. But when the life of the country's on the line, my friend, we better say a silent prayer that the women folk of this country don't let us down.
When you say women, we've got women in the military.
Well, I went around yesterday just observing the behavior of women here in San Diego, where I live. The one thing that I noticed is how self-absorbed women are. They're talking about their lips, their hair, their clothes. Get toilet paper, get shoe sale. God bless them. They make life pleasant the way they look, but in a time of possible war, you see where their priorities are.
Well, but I was going to say, World War II, we had women working in factories. We had women working at building munitions. Okay.
Well, but that's in World War II. The women were on a timetable. They got up in the morning. They went to bed at night. They went and they did what the man told them to do. If you look at the history of World War II. And you look at the women that were working in munitions factories in World War II, most of them didn't know what it was they were building. They were told to put this, this screw into that socket, put this part onto that part, but they didn't know what they were...
Well, they knew they were building munitions.
I'm sorry?
The women that worked in the factories in World War II, they knew they were building munitions.
No, that's what I'm saying. We've found out through records, most women that worked in munition plants during World War II weren't told... what they were making. They thought it was car parts or hair dryers. But the orientation of a young boy is to play army. And
let me ask you. So you're saying with this war on terror, the men are ready, but the women are not?
Because they don't have the military training that men have had.
Well, let me ask you, what's your military training?
Well, my military training is like any young man. Let me tell you a little bit about being a young boy in this country. You were one. What was the one thing that we did when we were kids, as young boys?
What, the one thing?
What was the one way that we would play? We'd go in the backyard and play what?
Play Army.
Play Army. I can tell you that every summer and most days after school, I was out playing Army. I was learning the basics of tactics and operational art at that time. I didn't know it. I was just playing Army. But through that experience, I learned tactics, I learned operational art, I learned how to deal with the possibility of a devastating injury. And
well, how do you learn? When you're a little boy and you're playing Army, I remember, what do you mean, like a broom handle?
Well, no, not a broom handle. There were some very sophisticated toy weapons in those. I'm talking about tactics, storming, even something as simple as storming Billy Twan's treehouse. The little boy lived behind us, and he was a Japanese-American. And what made it fun and what made it realistic for us is that Billy would play...
He'd play the Japanese.
Yes, he would. And we'd storm the treehouse. And I can remember, and I remember the date as long as I live. It was July 14th. It was the summer of 1968. And I took an incendiary grenade to the face. I was blinded. I lost my vision. And I had to make my way back to the lines. And I was,
you're talking about playing Army?
Well, you say it's playing Army.
Yeah, that's what you were doing. You were
All right, sir. I don't need to listen.
What did he do? He hung up? I mean, I didn't mean to laugh at the guy, but he said that he took an incendiary grenade to the face and he lost his vision. Is that right? But he was playing Army. How is that wrong of me to laugh? Try to get the guy on the phone and apologize to him, will you, Jeff? Vernon Dozier, his concern is basically this. With the new war on terror, women are not up to it. Men are, but women may not be up to what we've got coming, what we may have coming. Possible suicide bombings in America, possible more terrorist attacks in America. Men come from a military training point of view. Most women don't have that. Is he back? Okay, Mr. Dozier?
Yes.
Sir, I didn't mean to laugh at you.
I would hope that you would take a war on terror to be very serious, sir.
I do take it seriously. And I do take it seriously.
But you're laughing at an experience that I had that could have been traumatic.
All right. You were playing Army in a kid's backyard.
Yeah, but I can tell by the way you're saying that you don't take my tactical experience and operational art experience seriously.
But you do agree it's playing Army.
I agree with that, yeah. I took an incendiary... No, of course I didn't take a real grenade to the face, but it was a pretend grenade that I took to the face. To the face. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that means? An incendiary grenade? In other words, that's a grenade that creates flame. The flame searing my eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I had to make my way back to my lines. Even though, yes, it was pretend.
Okay, so what happened? I mean...
What happened? I guess you're going to laugh at this. His mother called him for dinner, and my mother called me for dinner, and that was it. But what I'm saying is that instant that I took the made-up grenade to the face, I learned something about myself. And I am telling you that America's women are not ready for this war on terror, and we've got to do something to create a tougher woman than the ones we have right now.
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, but are you laughing again?
No, I'm not laughing again.
Well, there was a pause there, as if you think that what I'm saying, our country, Mr. Hendry, can be the object of a serious...
I'm not pausing to laugh at you, I'm just listening to what you're saying. Playing Army in a kid's backyard...
I know that it's made up, I know that it's just playtime, but by the same token, every boy has played Army. And as such, every boy has had that military experience. And
all right, a man storming the beach at Normandy and a kid going up a ladder to a treehouse, is that the same thing?
Theoretically, yes, it is. In practical terms, no, but theoretically, yes. You learn the same kind of operational art and tactics.
All right, a man having a grenade thrown at him on the beach at Normandy and it blowing up and blinding him, is that the same as the imaginary incendiary grenade you took in that kid's backyard?
In practical terms, no, I didn't get injured, but yes, it's the same hell. You feel the same fear. You feel the same fear.
You feel the same fear playing war.
Not playing war. I took an incendiary grenade that scorched the eyeballs out of my skull. Not playing Army.
But you were playing Army?
Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
In a restaurant, a man walks in and sees one of these towel winders. We'll say, I'll keep my eye on him.
What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the possibility of us getting an attack.
A suicide bomber?
Right. A man sees one of these turpin winders, and we say, I'll keep my eye on him. A woman sees this guy, and she's oblivious. She looks at the clothes he wears. She thinks in terms of fashion. I tried something on Sunday, Mr. Hendry. I saw a group of women standing and talking near one of those mall directories, so I put on a heavy padded coat, and I walked by them about five times, and I could have had a bomb under there, and they didn't do diddly. They didn't do anything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier is our guest.
And one other thing, Phil.
Go ahead.
As young boys, we felt the pain and the agony of war, where the little girls were busy helping mommy sifting flour or making a bed.
All right, I understand. Let me go to Chris. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I cannot believe what this guy is talking about. That is unbelievable. I have a 4-year-old.
Do you have any military experience?
Myself? No,
yeah.
I do not.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
But my whole family is military oriented.
Well, that doesn't mean you are.
Something about.
That doesn't mean that you are.
I'm not saying that I am.
All right. Well, then
I think I'm a little bit smarter than you.
That proves. Why do you think you're smarter than me?
Because your point is that you can go play like little boys play.
No, I'm saying. Of course, I know that I was playing. I know that. But what I'm also saying is that practical experience of whether it's storming a treehouse, or taking a garage, or a tool
shed.
Oh,
yeah. It's so real. That is so real.
Did you ever play Army? No. Were you
No, you can't say that. You cannot play.
Were you helping your mother
powder
something?
I have a four-year-old, so yes, I do play those kind of games.
No.
With yes,
when
I
When you were a little girl, did you play Army? The answer to that is no. Were you pottering?
Oh my God, you would be surprised what I did when I was little. And no, I did not play with dolls. No, yeah,
you know,
I did
something,
play
I can tell by the sound of this woman's voice, she's full of crap. She doesn't really care about what we're... You do realize we're talking about...
What do you mean she's full of crap? She's saying...
Storming a Barbie dream house. Jesus H.
Where are you from?
I come from San Diego, California. This is a naval...
That explains it.
Do you know where... we have a naval base and a marine base down here. You communist bitch.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Right, I am.
Wow.
Our country.
That's right. You heard me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our country's
in trouble because
I would go to war myself. I would go to war myself.
Well, then do us all a favor and do that, okay?
Well, why are you so hostile toward this woman?
Because she's making fun of the fact that I took a flash grenade to the eyes.
Oh, you poor thing. You poor thing.
This is why I call you a bitch.
You know what? Rot in hell.
You really
do.
Can we not call each other names? Poor people.
She's the one who called up and made fun of
that are fighting
my
for our
experience.
Country.
Yes, first
of
all.
There's people that are fighting for our country.
All right.
You're saying that you took a fake grenade to the face?
I learned tactics and what? Why doesn't she listen to me?
Have you ever fought in any war?
I just got done telling you that as a young boy, I went through simulated war training.
Have you ever fought in a war?
I'm going to say
That's
it again.
No. You're talking about simulated. The lady's asking, have you ever fought in a real war?
Did I just tell you that I took a simulated grenade to the face?
You probably should have taken a couple more. Phil, it has been wonderful having you on the phone.
Ma'am?
It has been wonderful talking to you.
Ma'am?
I think you are a wonderful man, as my husband has told me,
I think you are a piece of dirt.
But my God, these poor people that you have on the show.
I played baseball once.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Really,
God
bless you got it all together,
America.
Don't you, Chris?
God bless America.
Yeah, God
Phil,
bless
you
America.
Have a wonderful
God bless
evening.
America as long as we've got men.
Have
in
a wonderful
it,
evening,
because
Phil.
The women
and
are going to be
sitting
there.
In hell.
You.
Goodbye.
Yeah, go marry a towel wrapper. God almighty.
Look it, man. I can't have this, okay?
What?
I can't have you talking, calling my guest's name, my caller's names.
Now, you listen to me and you listen good.
No, you listen to me.
No, I'm the one.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Calm down. I'm not saying you don't have any war experience. You had a war game in a kid's backyard. You stormed his treehouse. Fine. I think we're getting off the point, and your point is that women are making the country weak.
I think that the women out there who have no practical military training are going to hurt this country. And that's why I wanted to make the point I was going to make about lesbians. And the reason why is because the lesbians out there were the tomboys who played with us. All the little girls that played with us, those were tomboys.
Right.
Okay. The tomboy grows up to become a lesbian. Now, those are more of the women that we need. But we've got women like that.
Don't use that B word again.
I'm sorry. But I am so outraged, I'm shaking. We got women like that.
All right, hold on for a minute, man. If you can't, you got to pull it together. You got to pull it together. So what's he saying now? We need more lesbians because they're the women that know how to fight. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier with us. The country's in trouble from the standpoint of women, not men, but women not being prepared to fight a war on terror. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, why do you think women are going to be the weak link in this war on terror.
As I was saying to you before the break, Mr. Anderson.
You need to get the opinion out quickly because I want to get to some calls, okay?
All right. Women have come from an orientation on taking care of the house and wiping up a kid and cleaning up some kid's diaper. Men come from a military orientation. Now, I know that I wasn't in the military. I know that I wasn't in no war. But I did play Army as a kid, and that taught me basic tactics and operational art. And for you and your listeners to make fun of that, I think is so wrong.
Look, you said you took a grenade to the face, but it was a fake grenade while you were playing Army.
But it was still living hell for those few minutes. Now, the reason why I say lesbians is because they are women who come from a male perspective, and they know how to fight, and they're not chicken like a lot of women.
You need to get yourself together.
I'm sorry.
You need to get yourself together before I move on. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir, but I'm saying that...
You're saying that most straight women are chickens and we need more lesbians in the military.
No, sir, I'm saying that we need more lesbian women on the front line, wherever it is. It could be civil defense, it could be the military, it could be home defense. That's all I'm saying.
All right, I got to take a phone call here. Angel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just think that your point is totally invalid, and it seems like you're crying about this situation, and you're saying that women aren't strong enough to fight.
See?
But yeah, you're crying.
I'm not crying. I'm trying to tell you. I have been insulted on this program.
You hung up once on me.
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
The host. You hung up on me.
I hung up because you had that woman on saying that she was calling me names. She said I could go to hell.
But you called her out of her name, so what do you expect?
Well, you know something, lady? When the war on terror comes to America, and all of you gals are looking at shoes, and you're doing your nails, and you're having your pedicure, and someone tosses the bomb into the little nail salon that you're in, maybe you'll think twice about it.
Well, you can't live in fear like that.
What
I mean, if you know where you're going.
Oh, you can't live in fear like that.
Me, I know where I'm going.
Lady,
so that's...
when somebody rolls a bomb into your little grocery store that you go in and pick up your jalapeno peppers from or whatever you do, you won't go to that grocery store again, I guarantee you.
All right, neither would I. Neither would any man.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, because I've had military training.
A fake bomb thrown in your face that does not qualify as military training. I'm sorry, sir.
Billy Twan's backyard, 1968, July 14th. I will never forget it.
I mean, I've been at a party where people started shooting right in front of me, but that doesn't qualify me to have military training.
I had tactical training insofar as...
Well, let me get this straight. You stormed some kid's treehouse.
That was supposed to be a Japanese POW camp.
Supposed to be, but yet you still don't have
you
military
see,
training.
Everybody's laughing at me, but the minute I say anything, everybody comes down on me. This is the second woman that's calling up to laugh at me. Look, ma'am, you're a stripper, right? Right?
Who's a stripper?
You.
No.
Angel? Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm
okay.
In college.
Look, when I'm in your club, you can say all the opinions you want when I'm in your club. But I'm on my time right now, okay?
I'm sorry that you have to insult people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to
call this lady a stripper.
Would you please listen to what I'm saying? This country is...
Hold on for a minute. Does this guy sound a little amped up to you, Angel?
Seems like he's crying, but yet he's calling women weak.
Right. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier says the women of America are not prepared for a war on terror. We need more lesbians. It's the Phil Henry Show. Let me ask Mr. Dozier, what is Operation Butch?
Operation Butch is a ongoing operation that I propose to our United States military, that we include not necessarily females into the front line of our war on terror and the front lines of the military, but that we include lesbian females. Now, Operation Butch, as it stands, would indoctrinate females. And what I'm saying primarily...
Well, you said that there are not enough lesbian females.
Right now, probably approximately 10% of all women are lesbians. But Operation Butch, utilizing, and if we suspend for 5 years and only 5 years laws restricting sex between adults and minors, we could encourage certain sexual contact between older lesbians or PE teachers and younger girls, and that begins to create a cadre or a core, if you will, of lesbians that could then take their place in the United States military. Now, I think this can be done in 5 years. There are some timetables that are set at 7 or 8. I think it would be done in 5 years.
There are other timetables for this.
This has been proposed before.
I've never heard of it.
Well, sir, that's what I mean. There are some of us who are tactically aware, militarily.
You're proposing that we incorporate more lesbians into the armed forces?
More lesbians into the front lines of the war on terror, wherever it may, FBI, CIA, whatever, what have you. They are the only women who have a way of dealing with things that is masculine. Again, these were the girls that played baseball with us when we were kids. These were the girls that rode bicycles with us. The tomboy evolves into the lesbian, or the dyke, or the butch dyke, or the whatever you want to call them. But, I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
No, but you got Operation Butch going here.
It's a name. I you know, Jesus.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. William, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm in the military myself, and I've never been to war, but I've been to more simulated wars than backyard barbecue, throw a rock, hit me in the face war. I've been to
National
Training Center down in California.
What's your point?
I'm sure you heard of that.
The what?
National Training Center down in California, where we do the desert warfare training.
Camp Pendleton, yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Well, I've been there quite a few times.
Look at it. Do you disagree when I tell you that the only woman to watch your back is a dyke?
No, I totally disagree with you.
Well, why would you disagree with that?
Well, I know plenty of the women that are in my unit right now.
And when you say taking a rock to the face, sir, I did not take a rock to the face. It was a simulated incendiary grenade.
Yeah, you know, I played war when I was a kid, too, and I got hit with a mud clod, and I just wiped off the dirt and went crying to my mommy, but nothing wrong with that.
Oh, is that what you're saying I did? What I'm saying is...
Well, what you're trying to say here, Mr. Dozier, is the emotional...
First of all, it wasn't a rock. It was a water balloon, which was used. That's what we used to simulate the napalm.
Oh, okay. What
is it with you? You don't get what I'm saying?
No, I get exactly what you're saying. You're totally self-centered into your little world that you want to make.
What are you talking about?
You got a water in your face.
Wait
when
a minute.
I was over
yeah,
in
you
National
didn't take
Center, I got shot at with a 50 cal. It might have been blanks.
It was, well, what's
but
the
I got wounded, okay?
Well, there's no
I got wounded, okay?
There's no difference
and you
between
you wonder
that
who picked up the 50 cal that I had and fired back? It was a woman. It was a cook. She was a cook in the Army. She picked up the 50 cal that I had because I was wounded.
Okay, all right.
Simulated wounded.
That's fine.
And she fired back.
Okay. I'll bet you anything. She was a lesbian.
She ain't a dyke.
How do you know she's not a dyke?
I used to party with her husband. She has a husband.
Let me say something to you, William. You're going to laugh at this, but if my mother had not called me for dinner that night, I don't know what would have happened to me.
What do you think would have happened?
I know something already did happen to you. It totally psyched your mind.
I could have died.
I mean, you're saying your military experience is that you were in a backyard brawl. Were you in any other armed forces at all?
We were playing Army.
Okay, you were playing Army, okay. Were you in any military form at all?
Well, you mean in the real Army? No.
No, because if a war would have came your way, I could have sworn that you probably would have burned your draft card, put on a dress, and ran out to Canada.
Well, that's hardcore.
Because you do not know. You do not know. Trust me, you have not seen anybody get his arm shot off. I've seen it in training. You
Wait
have not
are you
seen...
Guy, Mr. Henry, are you agreeing with this man?
Yes, I do.
You agree that...
You
yeah,
have
I
not
agree.
Seen...
This man's training is far more realistic and prepares one far better for actual combat than storming Billy Twan's treehouse when you were 11. I mean, come on, man.
I told you that I took napalm to the eyes.
You didn't take napalm. You took a water balloon.
It was simulated.
It's okay if it's simulated. It's simulated. Are you saying that you psyched yourself so far up into an emotional state that you actually believed it was napalm?
You get Billy Twan. I can call him because I know where he lives. I
was going to say, the 60s were really good for you then, okay, buddy?
What's that? I rolled around on the lawn and I screamed. Well, you guys are both nuts.
Oh, we're nuts. You're the guy rolling around on the lawn screaming after...
I'm telling you, you laugh at me one more time.
Okay, I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing in your face.
I don't think it's fair that I'm on the air talking about defending our country and a guy who is in the military of the United States calls up and laughs at me.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this guy.
I
He's whacked.
I'm whacked.
But you know what hurts me the most? You know what hurts me the most? I love this country more than anything else in my life. That I put my life on the line every day.
Yeah, sure.
Every day. Okay. If they called me to go somewhere, I would be there.
ABC Liquor Lounge and get into a fight with some civilians, you call that putting your life on the line? Because I got the crap kicked out of me by 3 Marines down in Oceanside, California. And I was happy for them. I said, go ahead, kick my ass.
You want to know what I think's weird?
I think the guy needs...
Like you said just a little while ago, that you went to the department store purposely trying to look like you were trying to bomb the place.
Yeah, what about that?
You know what makes me mad about that?
What?
We have too many of those that put me on alert where I have to go out thinking I might have to shoot you, even though you are not a terrorist.
There's some
you're acting like one, I might have to shoot you.
You do that, and you're putting people at risk.
But the women didn't do anything about it. Are you guys listening to me? I walked by 3 women standing there gabbing about their nails. I'm there in an oversized coat. Do you think one of those broads went to security and said, maybe a bomb?
You know how many women that I'd rather have in my foxhole? That I would rather have in my foxhole fighting side by side with me than you? You know what would happen if you were in my foxhole? I guarantee you'd be fragged. You would not be coming out of that foxhole.
You know what fragged means, Vernon?
No.
Well, I hope you never find... Well, just, yeah, never... What?
Well, no, come on, what does it mean?
I don't want to tell you.
What does it mean?
I'm not telling you.
It means that I would probably have to kill you to save my own life because I would be scared to death to be in that foxhole with you.
You'd kill me?
Yes, I would.
All right, look.
You would scare me to death.
Yeah, he's freaky. William, I got to take another call. I thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll tell you something right now. That guy says he wants to butt rape me.
He didn't say that.
He said fragged.
Fragged means they're going to kill you. One of your own men kills you.
Well, that happens to be treason, mister, and you can go before a firing squad for that.
Yeah, well, what difference will it make to you when you're dead? Here is Cindy on the Phil Hendry Show. Cindy?
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
You know, I think it's really sad that in a time like this, that this gentleman is saying some of the things that he is saying to break us even further apart.
I'm not breaking anybody apart.
Oh, yes,
I'm trying
you
to
are.
Get you
I mean,
ready for war, lady.
You and I think we're all ready for war.
Are you ready for war?
Yes, I am.
Are you
I
ready
have
for the
to.
Are you in the military?
No, I'm not in the military. Are you in the military?
Are you a lesbian?
No, I am not.
All right.
I'm married and
the only women in America that are prepared for the combat, and I'm talking about the hardcore combat that is ahead of this country, are the lesbian women of this country.
Oh,
and I'll say something right now. Thank God for them. You know, I used to be anti-gay. I was just like everybody else, beating up gays in the street. And then I realized the lesbians. Ah, yes, the lesbians.
The lesbians what?
You know,
the lesbians
are one of the questions I have is what in your background has caused you to dislike women so much?
I don't dislike
and
women.
The previous caller makes an outstanding
I wish somebody listened to me.
Nobody is going to listen to you because
all right.
you don't listen to
okay.
anybody else.
Thank you. I think what we got here is a situation where you need to...
You're going to cut me off?
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off right now. You're out of control, okay?
Okay, so my idea, Operation Butch...
What do you mean, Operation Butch?
I can get 20% of all American women to be dykes within 5 years.
And they will augment our armed forces.
That's right.
Good luck with that Operation Dyke.
Well, I know you're only kidding.
No, no, I mean it.
Bull.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Vernon Dozier in the preceding bit was performed by me, Phil Hendry, and I, of course, was doing my own voice. And that's what we do on our program, that kind of interactive phone prank, satirical improv humor, otherwise known as bullcrap. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm kidding around. Of course I know it's brilliant, and it's just ever so great. 1-800-449-8686. Problem is, I think Operation Butch is a pretty good idea. I think it's a great idea. You get a corps of lesbians, front line, 110th Mountain Division, goodbye Al-Qaeda. Hello, New York. Hooray for the lesbians. Yay. 1-800-449-8686. And now something to endear me to every woman in the audience, and this will probably endear Craig Taylor to every woman in the audience as well. Craig and I were just talking during the break how much we miss our women. His lady, Nikki, is in Tokyo, and my wife is going to be traveling to the UK tomorrow. And she's over staying with some friends right now in San Diego. And I'm going to miss her. I mean, I haven't been away from her. And I don't care if you guys think it's cornball and you don't want me to talk about it. Tough. You wish you had a woman you loved in your life. Huh? Huh? Yeah. I don't care if you guys think I'm being sappy. Hey, I get a chance to be a little bit on the slimy side of life here. I get to be a little mushy. I'm going to miss her, okay? So there you go. So she's leaving and she'll be gone. Let's see. She'll be gone tomorrow is what, Tuesday? She's leaving Tuesday. She'll be coming back next Wednesday. That's 8 days. That's the longest that we've ever been apart. Most of the time we travel together, but she got invited to go with a girlfriend to London and go to a wedding reception of some kind, but I'm sure, yeah. Oh, I really want to go to the wedding reception. That's the excuse. They're going to go over there and party. And it's a great town to hang out in. London's just fun, just flat fun. Plus, with the IRA car bombings, it'll just be a wonderful thing for her to experience. Plus, with the IRA kneecappings, why, it's just a wonderful whirlwind vacation in jolly old UK England. But we were sitting here, and I just got done talking to her, and she said, well, thanks for covering for me, honey, and I'll see you next week. And, well, of course, we'll talk every day on the phone, and I want to find out what's going on. And she took her laptop with her. And I was, do you want to know what a moron I am? Last night I'm sitting there trying to figure out how I can get her a local dial-up in London for her Earthlink account. And I couldn't figure it out for love or money. And then one of the kids came along. And, of course, kids are geniuses when it comes to computers. The average 14-year-old knows more than any adult. And one of the kids came down and said, well, why do that? Why not just go into an internet cafe? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can go into an internet cafe, just pay a fat rate, and then you can just do it. Otherwise, the number that you call, it may be not local, and it'll charge a lot of money.
And we're just sitting there just transfixed with our jaws on the floor, listening to a 10-year-old waxing about, you know.
And another thing you can do while you're online is check out some of the great bargains at thetrip.com. Yes, the trip.
So that's, I think, what she's going to do. That's what Craig did in Tokyo. Just go into one of those internet cafes, chunk out a couple of lines of poetry, send a few death threats. Boom, you send it right on through the mail. It's a beautiful thing. Like that scumbag that did that job in Pakistan. Wasn't that how they tracked him down at an internet cafe? What show bomber? Oh, shoe bomber. The shoe bomber was connecting to another guy at an internet cafe. Boy, that guy was a real genius and a half, wasn't he, that shoe bomber? If that's what they got going for him, which, naturally, that's not what they got going for him. You see, I hear a lot of people say, hey, these guys are sharp. These guys are organized. These guys are a beautiful thing to watch. Well, you know what? They weren't so much sharp and organized as they were very, very ballsy. Lots of chutzpah, you know? That thing they pulled on September the 11th had more to do with chutzpah than it had to do with any organization. They rightly, and I mean very accurately, assessed the temperament and the emotional stance of the people on that plane. And they came to the conclusion, knowing Americans the way they knew them, that if they killed somebody outright to show that they meant business, which is what they did, that they would be able to frighten 100 or 150 passengers into just sitting still and not doing anything. And it wasn't that those people didn't have any courage. It was that they assumed, like everybody before 9/11, that when a plane is hijacked, you're going to be taken somewhere, not flown into something. Now we know. Now we know. That's why the hijacking is no longer an operative thing. Blow the plane up in the air, you can do that. Hijack it, forget it, ain't going to happen, ain't going to work, and they know it. These guys are, they're really long on chutzpah and just the sheer brass balls of it, but I don't know that in terms of their skill as fighting men, I don't know whether that's anything to be feared or anything that's been proven. Like I said, our guys went up into the mountains, they couldn't find any of them. But this guy, this Reed guy with the shoe bomb, boy, this is something else. Now, I know they're recruiting from the dumber parts of town. See, what you're supposed to do, you guys, is recruit from the poor part of town, not the dumb part of town. You recruit from the poor part of town, you get guys that have got nothing left to lose. You could find people with intelligence, but very, very little resource. They have nothing left to lose, so they'll join your organization. But you don't recruit from the dumbass part of town. By the way, that lady that called last hour was really raging, was really angry at me. She likes the title of the show, Dumbass on Patrol. So I think we may hold on to that. But you don't go to Dumbbell Central and find guys. Like in L.A., where do you think dumbass, where's the dumbass part of Los Angeles? Just for Hollywood, exactly. That's where you don't go there to get anybody. You go to, you go to South Central, maybe. I don't know. You have Ramparts. You go to some of the tougher area, Compton. But you don't go to where the dumbbells live. Watch, somebody will call. Listen, you two-bit piece of crap. Talk about Hollywood like that. I'm talking about Hollywood, California, not Hollywood, Texas. 1-800-44 Hollywood, Florida. 1-800-449. Although I lived in Hollywood, Florida, there's some Al Qaeda recruiting to be done there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.